Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Today we've got a great malicious compliance story all about getting a new car. We'll get into that in a bit, but first, denial of service? You got it. So, I work in cybersecurity. One point I worked for a managed security services provider, or outsourced cybersecurity. Had a manager who was surrounded by yes men who worshipped him as awesome, which, based on some stuff he showed, I wasn't impressed, but that's irrelevant. He wanted to start stealing malicious site detections by various vendors and resell the data as proprietary threat intelligence. Culmination of data mined by actual threat researchers. Sorry, not steal, redistribute for a fee. Anyway, I told this dude, you want this data as a report, not an email alert. If you do this as an email alert, you'll generate about 4 million emails in a day for just one of our customers, who will remain nameless. Bark bark, woof woof, reports aren't real time enough, needs to be email alert. Cool, so to make sure I'm understanding you clearly, you are saying turn it on. All of this conversation was via email, of course. You got it, boss. And I did as I was told. Later the same night, I get added to a critical call. Customer identified an email coming from their SIEM to the tune of 3 million messages and wanted to know why we enabled this. This same director asks me why it was turned on, telling the customer, I'm the one responsible for building the ways we detect threats. Absolutely, team. I apologize. I had attempted to have our leadership reconsider this requirement as it would adversely impact your environment to the tune of 4 million emails. Let me forward the communication to all of us on the bridge. Do you all want me to turn off this rule? Yes. Absolutely. I just forwarded the email thread. Manager, looks like you were the one who authorized and made the decision to turn it on despite the risk, and I went ahead and disabled the rule. Dude got promoted to VP, and I was no longer involved in threat monitoring, so I'm pretty sure he controlled the narrative very well. But I enjoyed the moment of listening to the customer bring legal and discuss cancellations and repercussions. I left, and am now the proud owner of a cybersecurity product for Biomed and Facility Devices. I can imagine working in cybersecurity might have its own stressful moments enough on its own, let alone working for a boss like this who is more than happy to make you their scapegoat in any way possible, but is also just so capable of weaponizing their stupidity. ItchyBenchy7258 wrote, God, I freaking hate MSSPs. I'm surprised you didn't resell community alien vault feeds given those ethics. If you want the get 3 million emails experience, sign up for SOC Prime. You will never know peace again. Also, hi, I'm Steven, and if you guys enjoy awesome stories of malicious compliance, why not hit those like and subscribe buttons down below? That said, our next story is make me feel bad, get to feel extremely embarrassed. I work in asset financing for motor vehicles and land mostly. How it works is you find a nice piece of land or a nice car, but you don't have the full asset price. We buy the asset for you and you repay us within a specific period of time with interest. And we give you the deed to the property after you've cleared the loan with us. I'm just laying the foundation here. Well, I got to work at a customer service role for the job, and a client comes to request for his deed. In this case, a logbook for his car, as he had cleared his loan. I check and find that his deed is not ready, and I asked him to come back in a couple of weeks. The client didn't want to hear this as he needed proof of ownership for his vehicle, and he wanted the document in that instance. I completely understood the client, though I couldn't do anything other than escalate the issue to the manager of the relevant department in the hopes that he'd figure something out. I went to his office and gave him a brief recap of the situation, and he said I was incompetent and lazy because I couldn't handle the issue properly, and I have a habit of escalating unnecessary cases to him. This is coming from a guy who doesn't pick calls during work hours and spends most of his time on YouTube and TikTok. He also gets mad when you go to his desk for anything, especially work stuff. He asked me to get the client and watch how easily he could solve the issue. Turns out the client was more than he could handle because the client started shouting at him as soon as I'd ushered him to the office. The manager started with the BS of, it's the government causing the delay and he needs to be patient. I was watching this and thought it couldn't get better. The client stood up and slapped the manager and scattered the contents of his desk all over the floor. Other staff heard and security escorted the client out. I'll never forget the looks the manager gave me after things had settled. He rarely speaks to me now and handles my escalations quickly and better. I always have a big old smile on my face when I recall this. I think it goes without saying, but what OP did here is, in my opinion, good customer service. Somebody who has a legitimate issue, which, to be fair, if somebody is holding some kind of title or whatever for you and you finally repay your loan and you're told you gotta come back in a couple of weeks, I mean, something just feels kinda dirty about that. Like, they went and repaid the loan with interest and you say come back in a couple of weeks? I mean, I can't blame somebody for being a little bit miffed about that. Global Dude wrote, your manager is incompetent and lazy. He couldn't handle the issue properly. Hopefully the customer did beat some common sense into him. This next story is, don't you respect my schedule? Okay. This happened a few days ago at my work. I work as a monitor in a company that sells wholesale. We have rotating schedules, so if we have activities outside of work, we have to notify them in advance so they can adjust our schedule. It turns out that this is not the first time that they've told me that I should give more notice. So a week before the next week's schedules were made, I informed my leader about all my activities for the month. He clearly didn't like this, so he told me to send it to him in writing so he could remember and consider it for the schedules. Well, if it had happened like that, I wouldn't be here. I needed to rest on a Sunday because that day I had baking classes and to come in the morning on Tuesday. When I saw the schedules, I got angry. As always, she did what she wanted. She gave me my rest on Tuesday, and on Sunday, she left me in the afternoon, from 2:30 to 11 p.m. My baking class was from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., so it was literally making me choose between my class and coming to work. I was upset because it wasn't the first time it had happened, and I always ended up trying to convince other classmates to change my schedule or break so I could do my activities. I was tired of always looking for solutions for the things she did wrong, and she also had the impudence to take her rest on Sunday. Here comes my malicious fulfillment. I decided to pretend that I never saw the schedules and miss Sunday. I hate uploading statuses to my WhatsApp.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Storytime is sponsored by BetterHelp. Nearly everyone at some point in their life will struggle with their mental health, whether that's something stressful at work, in a personal relationship, or something else. I know that I really struggled with anxiety in my early 20s, and therapy was a massive help for me. That's why I'm a massive fan of therapy, and today's sponsor, BetterHelp. If there is anything in your life, big or small, that is negatively affecting you, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. It's an online therapy service that, after finishing a small questionnaire, will match you with a licensed therapist, where you can book appointments that match up with your schedule at any place or any time. And if you feel like you're not bonding with your therapist, you can switch at any point for free. Also, therapy isn't just if you're struggling with mental health. If you're looking for guidance or ways to improve your social skills, life, or relationships, it's a great judgment-free way of doing that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/StorytimePod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/StorytimePod. App, but I decided that this time it was a special situation, so I started uploading statuses for my baking class. When I saw that my leader saw my status, I knew that I had won. When it was 3 in the afternoon, my boss, my leader's superior, asked me why I had been absent. I told her that I hadn't seen the schedules, and since I did what the leader had asked me to do, which was to notify her in time and sending him my schedules in writing, I assumed that he had respected it. I knew that I was going to ask my leader, but I also knew that she has a reputation as a liar, so I knew that she would try to twist things in her favor. So I sent her a screenshot of the conversation in which I told her in detail about my activities. She thanked me and didn't say anything to me. The next day, I found out that she was advised for that, and I got away with it without any repercussions. Then she tried to justify herself to me by saying that my boss had not approved the schedule, but it is evident that it is a lie. I know they're not going to pay me that day I was absent, but it was worth it to get her scolded, and let's see if she understands that if they don't respect my schedule, I'm just going to be absent, and I'm not going to try to fix their nonsense anymore. Edit, for those who were wondering what happened next, I didn't have any retaliation. That day I received a message from the manager of my area, she is above my leader, wondering why I missed work. I told her that I didn't know that I should work because I'd already spoken with the leader, and I also told her that I'd sent it to her in writing as she had requested, and I attached the evidence. The next day I found out that the leader was reprimanded by my area manager for not paying attention to those details. And now, my manager is in charge of talking to her whenever I need a specific time, so that my free time is respected. I think this is just the way to go about it. The sooner you stop breaking your back for others who will more than gladly allow you to break it every single time, I think clearly for the better. Just make sure you keep receipts. Fizzlefist wrote, Rule 1, always have it in writing so you can cover your butt later. Manager can lie all they want, but here's the email. Our next story is, should have pre-approved my remote day due sickness? Okay. This happened in my old job and I was reminded it today. Thought it would fit here. In my old job, we had a great boss and hybrid work. If we had any reason not to come to the office, just a message to him and extra remote day would be approved. Then he was let go, and we got a new boss who was the exact opposite of her predecessor. This happened a few weeks after our old boss was let go, and his boss became our new boss. One morning I wasn't feeling well, too sick to travel to the office, but not too sick to work from home. I had a couple of remote meetings with customers, so it was just easier for me to work while being a little sick, than try to reschedule. I spoke with my boss in Slack, and our conversation was like this. I say, good morning. I have a sore throat and a slight fever. I'll be working from home today, so no need to reschedule anything. The boss replies, Our employer handbook clearly states that remote days are Tuesday and Thursday, and exceptions need to be pre-approved by the manager. I was ticked. Is she really trying to force me to the office even when I'm sick? Or what was her motive? But then it hit me. It doesn't matter. And our discussion continued. I said, Oh, sorry, that's true. I have a sore throat and a slight fever. I'm unable to come to the office, so I'm taking a sick day. Could you ask someone to reschedule the meetings with customer A and customer B, since I'm recovering at home, at least for today? The employer handbook states that I can take 3 sick days in a row without a doctor's note, but I'm willing to make an exception if you want to and get you one. Do you want it? I was left on read for 10 minutes. She started typing, deleted the text, started again, and deleted it again. She was active in our chat for the entire 10 minutes until I finally got a response. They said, no, that won't be necessary. I'll ask someone to reschedule those meetings. Get well soon. My colleagues almost died on laughter when I told them why I'm having a sick day and not just working from home. Our boss didn't like me after that, but the feeling was mutual. I left the company later for a new job, but not before she was fired. Edit, thank you so much for the upvotes. Several people are asking for why she was fired. I wrote it in one comment, but I'll write a longer version here. She was commercial director. Last year, before she joined the company, it made 606,000 euro profit. In her first year, 413,000 euros. Second year, 1,000 euros. And she was fired at the end of the third. Numbers aren't public yet, but they're similar to the last year, if they somehow managed to stay profitable at all. She had previous experience from companies over 20 times bigger than that, and she was hired to help the company grow to the next level. Unfortunately, her skills were just to implement heavy processes and stiff organizational model. Her commercial department had 7 people working under her, and there were 4 sub-departments: sales, productization, account management, and marketing. Foreign sales, two in productization, one in account management, and marketing was handled by an outside contractor. We had 26 employees in total. We in sales were completely in new business, and after we had a signed agreement, account management took the contact role. Our former boss was head of sales, and he suggested that salesperson could be the contact for the first year, or even handle possible upselling, selling more to the current customer. But the commercial director didn't even let him finish before saying no, so the company lost a lot of money when not doing the upsell. It's pretty common that companies start with a small deal with a new software and expand the use step by step. For some reason, this wasn't an option if the customer didn't specifically ask us to provide more licenses. She was there before I was, but during my time, she focused on standardizing the sales process, which led to us losing the sales and bringing in less money. For example, we couldn't modify text and proposals for the customers without asking permission from productization. And even after that, only marketing would be allowed to make changes. And this was even in situations where the customer didn't want some feature our product had. We couldn't even remove the text about it. I once counted that my proposal introduced 11 features, and 9 of them were completely irrelevant to the customer. 2 of them were something that the customer had explicitly stated that they didn't want those. This was the software, so it had some features customers didn't use, but they didn't affect the pricing, so it didn't matter. It led to situations where we heard from the customers that we focused in completely unrelated things, not those which were relevant to the customer, and their board chose another vendor, even if the internal champion believed we were much better. Which we said would happen before this new model was implemented. Some other standardizations led to a situation where owners asked us to do something, and we had to decline since we weren't allowed to do that. They respected her role, even when they didn't agree with her decisions, but it's hard to believe that it didn't affect her termination. She cost about 2 million euros to the company, and that doesn't even include her salary. And for the top of that, she turned the company culture to something the owners didn't like. So she was expensive, a difficult person, and hard to work with. Obviously, it depends on your financial situation and the ability to really find an equivalent level job in whatever work field, but
hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Having a new boss like this move in, who clearly is tanking the whole thing and making it just a miserable place to work, not only is it surprising the business started tanking, but surely you're going to have people jumping ship over the new captain. Rukmi Amadeus wrote, "Yeah, I worked for a company that wanted to do the whole come into the office part of the week thing for a bunch of us who were hired purely remote since the pre-pandemic days. The entire department, even going as far as 4 levels above me in the chain, hated the idea and we all pushed back. It made no sense given that most of us worked in different states from our coworkers. For about 2/3 of us, it would literally just be driving into the office to find an empty room and sit on conference calls all day. In a rare moment of good sense in corporations, they actually backed off our case and let us keep doing what we want." Our next story is, level that entire field? You got it, Lieutenant. Story from my grandfather's time in the Royal Australian Air Force. He was a heavy mechanic / transport officer, worked around a lot of heavy machinery, and did maintenance on runways. He was assigned to a base on a Pacific island somewhere, and he was working on a bulldozer in one of their maintenance sheds. An uppity, just out of the Duntroon lieutenant walked up to him and demanded that he level a field with the bulldozer as they were preparing for an exercise. He told him to level that field and level every goddang thing on that field. My grandfather replied that he wasn't trained in the use of the bulldozer, he was just preparing a part on it. The lieutenant snapped back and said, "A commanding officer just gave you an order. Now get in that bulldozer and level that field." Pop thought, freak it, what's the worst that could happen? And he jumped up in that dozer and started leveling the field. Here's where it got malicious. In the area of the field, there was a brand new jail that had been constructed. It was a temporary wooden building for use while the Air Force waited for supplies to build a more sturdy concrete building. The construction had only been recently completed, and nothing had been moved into the building yet. Anyway, during his journey to flatten the field for the lieutenant's exercise, my pop accidentally clipped the wall of the jail and caused it to begin collapsing. At this point, he knew he was freaked. He was going to be in trouble no matter what he did. So he thought, well, freak it. The lieutenant told me to flatten the field and every goddang thing on the field. Pop just ended up bulldozing the entire jail and flattening it out along with the rest of the field. He ended up being court-martialed for destroying Royal Australian Air Force property. He represented himself and only asked that he question the lieutenant that asked him to do the work on the field. Lieutenant, did you ask me to level the field with a bulldozer? They replied, yes, but I didn't tell you to level the jail as well. Pop replied, but you did instruct me to use the bulldozer to level the field. Lieutenant replies, yes, I did. He said, Lieutenant, did I warn you that I wasn't instructed on the use of the bulldozer? They reply, yes, but... Lieutenant, did you tell me to level everything on that field? Yes, but... Lieutenant, is the jailhouse on the field that you instructed me, someone not trained in the use of a bulldozer, to level? There was a pause, and then, yes, Corporal, the jailhouse is on that field. The only trouble my pop got into with this one was the adjudicator of the case told my pop to listen far more carefully to the orders of a superior officer. Even though they were never trained how to operate that bulldozer, even though the lieutenant did say level every goddang thing on that field, it still to me feels like a bit of a miracle that they got away so easily with this one. I mean, they leveled the entire jail construction. Well, I mean, on second thought, he really did not know how to operate that thing, so of course disaster happened. Dinko from the North wrote, but he did listen carefully and did as instructed. The only thing they could have told your grandfather was to run these instructions by the lieutenant's direct superior. Our next story is my crappy ex-boyfriend putting a shelf on my bedroom wall. We were dating for 1 year when this happens. More than enough time to know how big of a mistake it would be to suggest him how to do anything. I tried though, by making a laid-back joke about how, as gays, we may struggle with the drills, measures, balance, and crap. So let's make it the easy way and put a table next to the wall and, above that, like two or three shoe cardboard boxes. Above all that, finally the shelf itself, make some dots, drill, and voila. His answer was like, no, what we're gonna do is you will hold the shelf against the wall, I'll take distance and say when it's balanced. Now, you have to make sure to hold it firmly as I mark the wall so it won't move. Sigh. You know what? That sounds nice. Let's do that. When done, we both lay down on my bed. The height of the ends of the shelf were so different that he basically installed a slide on my wall. I loved it. He didn't speak a word about it. Never. But his eyes, he couldn't take his eyes off the wall with a disappointed look. The whole thing was so serious for him, I can only presume that he slowly managed to make his house our main meeting place. I kind of let his house be the only meeting place at some point. He was suffering and he had immaturity for us both. You know what I mean? Updates. Some people were being kind and spending their time rebutting some criticism that was more like insults. In order to make it clear that even to these nice people I may have failed to make myself clear, I used ChatGPT to correct my text and preserve the meaning of the story. I did this so that anyone could draw their own conclusions if desired and stop spending each other's times. All updates are 15 hours after the original posting. All were motivated by the nature of the comments that occurred during this period. Before the actual modification, ChatGPT explained my post very well. I said, read the following text and wait for instructions, and copied and pasted the contents of the post. It replied, you've shared a piece of personal narrative that seems to delve into a relationship dynamic. It's written with a mix of humor and introspection. From what I gather, you're reflecting on a moment when you and your partner attempted to install a shelf together. Despite your suggestion for a more unconventional method, your partner insisted on a traditional approach, resulting in a somewhat comical outcome with the shelf ends at different heights. This incident seems to symbolize a larger issue in the relationship. perhaps indicating a struggle for control or differing approaches to problem solving. The narrative suggests a shift in dynamics, where your partner's seriousness contrasts with your more easygoing attitude. This difference might have led to some tension with your partner seeking control, and perhaps feeling a sense of disappointment when things didn't go as planned. The fact that he didn't speak about it but couldn't hide his disappointment suggests a communication barrier or emotional tension. Your decision to eventually gravitate towards a meeting at his place could reflect a desire to avoid conflict or to accommodate his preferences, even at the expense of your own comfort. There's a hint of resignation or acceptance of the situation, tinged with a sense of understanding for his struggles and immaturity. Overall, it's a glimpse into the complexities of relationships, highlighting the interplay between humor, communication, and compromise. It seems like you're navigating the ups and downs of the relationship with a mix of understanding and self-awareness. Update 2. Following my instructions, ChatGPT demonstrated that I was not objective, despite the post being easily interpretable. The instruction was rewrite the text I sent you so that it sounds more conversational, make the fewest changes to achieve this goal, use the same language in which the text was written. It replied, "We'd been together for a year when this happened. That's enough time to figure out suggesting anything to him would be a mistake." I gave it a shot, though, cracking a joke about how us gays might struggle with drills, measurements, and all that. So let's keep it simple. We'll just put a table against the wall, stack a couple of shoeboxes on top, then the shelf. Mark the spots, drill, and voila. But his response was like, "Nope, here's the plan. You hold the shelf, I'll step back, and tell you when it's level. Your job is to keep it steady while I mark the wall." Sigh. "You know what? Sounds good. Let's do it." After it was done, we both flopped on my bed. The ends of the shelf were at totally different heights, like he installed a slide on my wall. I thought it was hilarious. He didn't say a word about it. Never did. But his eyes, he couldn't look away from the wall, disappointment written all over his face. It was such a big deal for him, I guess. Eventually, his place became our go-to spot. I kind of went along with it, letting his place be the main hangout spot. He was struggling and we were both kind of immature. You know what I mean? Update 3, my interpretation of what may have caused confusion in my writing. ChatGPT assisted once more correcting words that were mine to prevent more confusion as I explain. It's kind of strange to realize that when ChatGPT analyzed the text without instructions, it interpreted and described exactly what I wanted to convey. Specifically, it assumed I was the reasonable one and noticed the silence from my ex, suggesting he might be an over-controlling person. But with the instructions, the new text clearly shows I wasn't being objective about pointing out that I was fed up with being ignored. Not only did I want to, but I also knew how to make my ex feel bad simply by going along with his bad idea. I'm all about declaring my biases. Update 4, a lot of people got stuck in the way I used the word balance. Lots of suggestion for me to buy a level. Some assume I didn't know what it is or didn't know how to use it. ChatGPT ironically didn't have trouble with that detail. I know what a balance is and I know what a level is. Read update 1 if the word is preventing you from understanding the original post. Update 5, final considerations. No need to feel sorry for me. If something makes you uncomfortable, you shouldn't have to read it. But you know, sometimes we gotta dip our toes into things we don't like to realize why they're unpleasant. That being said, anyone who tries to insult me instead of just downvoting or staying quiet probably really isn't reading properly. I'm not trying to label them as mean or anything. To those who fit the bill, I'm just saying, you are lazy, fix it. I think that was a lot of words to essentially just make sure that everybody knows that OP was a little too sensitive about Reddit comments. Honestly, in this day and age, regardless of the social media, you're probably going to get some dissenters in the comments. I mean, you'll never escape the person who's either trolling and trying to make you feel bad for the fun of it, or people who just genuinely don't agree. AnyContract3255 wrote, "So now that you got rid of them, it's time to get rid of the shelf, or at least fix it. You know how to do it, so do it. Or attach a bunch of Velcro so you can stick the stuff that you want on the shelf in place so that it doesn't roll off the end. Bot or not, we here at Malicious Compliance care about your home decorating needs and want your junk to look good. So just let us know how we can help." Our next story is, any car? This may not be true Malicious Compliance, but a good story. Back in the mid-90s at age 19, I bought a little used car from a used car dealership. No car they sold was overly expensive, nothing under 3 years old. The car bought had an outstanding recall, so the used dealer was taking it to Ford for me. So after driving it for a week, I dropped it off to the dealer to take to a Ford shop. Dropped it off and was given a loaner. Get a phone call later that mechanic was in an accident and the car was damaged bad. He was okay. There ultimately was a dispute on who was responsible for causing the accident. Car was not repairable, nor would I want it after repairs. The person who called was asking me about insurance coverage. I straight away said that it's on them. My insurance company also got involved too, as other driver made a claim. The dealer also tried to say my insurance would cover me a loaner vehicle. You had to be 25 to rent from Enterprise. I was 19, nor should I put that on my insurance. Nope, I said I'm keeping the loaner they provided me originally till it's worked out. 2 weeks later, the owner agreed to replace car and cover damages, keeping my insurance out of it. Maybe the fact I knew and worked for a lawyer friend had something to do with his decision and a nice letter my lawyer friend sent. The owner said, "Come pick any car you want off the lot." Great, I'll take the loaner vehicle. It was nice and drove great. Owner says, well, that's my wife's fully loaded car she likes to drive. We were figuring something similar to your previous car. My lawyer friend immediately, who came with me to ensure no nonsense occurred, says, "You just contracted verbally he could have any car on the lot. The loaner is on your lot, dealer tagged, and is on your books as a vehicle for sale. And given how this issue is handled, dealers would get cars in and drive them on dealer tags for personal use. The owner's wife was doing that with the loaner they gave me, thinking originally I'd only have it for a day. Needless to say, the loaner vehicle was signed over to me, left with a $7,500 fully loaded car versus my $4,500 destroyed car, and a signed agreement they were financially responsible. He did say any car. I'm so wimpy, I just feel like if I was in a situation like this, I'd feel bad because it's like, oh, it's my favorite car, I drive it all the time. Even though they try to ruthlessly screw OP over by trying to use their insurance and crap. Miter01 wrote, "The dealer mostly thought to push it on you as to avoid problems. Their irresponsibility would reflect in their next insurance premium, as the company would ask them why the accident happened. But if you claimed it, then their company would be none the wiser and you would have to pay a higher premium. I've seen it myself happen on multiple occasions, and people who lawyer up and fight and make the dealership back down usually are better off. The increased premium and permanent remark of them damaging the car due to irresponsibility, combined with them trying to pull this crap, leads to the dealer either shutting down or selling the business. But with that being said, that's all the time we have for today. Now, if you want to hear another awesome malicious compliance story, check out that video on the left. Or if you missed my latest video, check out that video on the right. That said, I'll see you all next time with some more stories.